Don't tempt fate. Okay.
He'll say whatever he wants to say anyway. That's the
title.
Matter.
That's the title, huh?
I don't care.
Okay. All right. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm John Schaup.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and we are Theater Geeks.
Hi, welcome to episode 7 of Theater Geeks. This episode is called Don't Tempt Fate. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Hi there. We have a little different setup this time around because we have a guest with us today. With us today is Deirdre Lovejoy, world-renowned actress and daughter of Marcia Fulmer. And Dee Dee has been a professional actress for a number of years.
Yeah, we don't talk about that. Come on now. Yes,
very recently was a regular in the TV
years.
Series on HBO called The Wire. Has done shows on Broadway and regional theater and just almost everything, right?
Yes, anything that anywhere they hire me, I'll go.
Anywhere you have can make money on it, huh? So anyway, Dee Dee's joining us. She's here in the Midwest with her mom, kind of chilling out and decompressing,
literally,
so to speak, from some surgery and et cetera. So we're happy to have her with us. We wanted to talk today about superstitions in the theater, and actors and actresses tend to be really superstitious, don't they? It seems like there's a lot of the classic superstitions, but we were just talking about how in our theater here in northern Indiana we have a series of ghosts. There used to be one ghost, and then some ghost hunters, and then they multiplied like little bunnies.
He's having a ghost party.
And now we have 7.
We have 7?
Yeah.
Last I heard it was 5.
Well, 5, it just depends. I think we had 2 that came through and just said hello and left, so...
Sort of like visiting ghosts.
What are their names?
Well, we would all know them here at the table, actually. I honestly believe that Jack and Co-Strain came to visit us after they passed away. So,
Okay. So, kind of like on their way to the,
somewhere. Are they still there?
No, I think they're gone now.
I think they went to Florida. They went to Florida.
They're in warmer climes.
Okay.
Co was like, I'm retired, really, now.
Okay. Anyway, a number of superstitions I have survived since Shakespearean times, correct?
Oh, yeah.
We were just talking about the one, which is, of course, the Scottish play is probably one of the best-known superstitions, was when you're in a theater, unless you are actually performing the Scottish play. I'll say it here as Macbeth, because we're not in a theater, so I'm safe.
You hope.
I hope.
I think we are.
Okay. All right. I'll just mix in a lightning crash right into
that
one.
Do that.
Anyway, we're safe here, but Macbeth is considered a cursed play for all kinds of reasons. So I don't know. I've never performed Macbeth, but you have?
I have.
You have? Is it cursed?
Well, it's certainly a hotbed of superstition. I did it in repertory with 2 other Shakespeare plays at the Old Globe for 5 months, and in San Diego, in an outdoor theater, right? Their big outdoor festival theaters, right, backs up to the San Diego Zoo, and we had a number of strange things happen. On opening night, I was just talking about the fact that around 10 o'clock, a mist would cover the stage. And during the final big fight, one night, the actor playing Macduff was almost died from the axe Macbeth was swinging in slow motion because he slipped on the stage. And people are generally extremely careful when they're performing the Scottish play out of fear. It's
you know, it doesn't
something
seem,
that's engendered in you from the time.
It doesn't seem
you're
to
little.
Me like almost died really counts as
I think does. That
I think you have to die in order for it to be a real curse.
Or maybe somebody has. Actually, I think that's what happened.
Yeah,
I think that's what, and I have a book somewhere, and I wish that I kind of was prepared for this topic today, because I do have a book about theater superstitions, and that one's in there. And for some reason, it seems to me like that somebody at some point actually did die
I think so, but I don't know who. I really wish you had that book right now.
I do too.
Is it upstairs?
I don't know. Now you're giving away our studio location.
It's upstairs in the studio.
Whenever somebody says Macbeth in the theater, I make them go outside, turn around three times counterclockwise, and then spit over their shoulder
and quote Shakespeare.
Oh, do they have to quote? Oh my goodness!
They have to quote a line of Shakespeare.
Somebody told me that it was.
I've been kicked out of many dressing rooms.
Turn around three times and say Hamlet, 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 or something like.
Well, it's not a quote. Hamlet is part of the. The name Hamlet occurs in Hamlet, so.
Well, I've been kicked out of many dressing rooms.
Many?
I have. I was kicked out of one. What?
Cherry Jones. Remember, she asked you what you were doing this summer, and you said, "Oh, I was playing. I was." Being in Macbeth, and she froze on the spot.
Oh, well, we were backstage.
I know.
In the theater.
That's what I mean. That's
yeah.
what I mean.
And I had to go out. She made me go outside.
Yeah.
And I had to turn around three times, spit, and quote a line of Shakespeare.
And then knock on the door and ask to be let back in.
You have to ask permission.
I'm
going to
have to write these rules and regulations down so they get, you know, and post them on the wall backstage.
Sometimes it's varying. I've been kicked out of dressing rooms at like 10 till, right when I was going to get dressed. You've got to go outside, and some theaters are big. I was kicked out of the Helen Hayes Theater. Because that was, the people are very serious about their superstitions.
Yeah, I know. Is it like more than 50% of actors, do you think? I mean, are most actors superstitious, or are just some that are just particularly obnoxious about it?
Over 50% are crazy. So that fuels the superstition thing, I think.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I don't know.
Crazy.
Yeah. I don't know.
That's okay.
But we don't talk about the Scottish play very much in Bristol, so, you know.
No.
We have not had many opportunities to get kicked out of the opera house and have to knock on the door to get back in.
So, well, I do, especially younger performers, though. I mean, I instill that in them. You know, the minute they say that word, I instill.
Do you tell them not to whistle?
Oh, yeah. We talk about whistling all the time.
Okay. So. What's the deal with whistling? Why can't you whistle?
Well, I know that. Do you know the reason?
Yes,
for that?
Go ahead.
Oh, well, back in the olden days, one of the reasons why people, one of the things that people used to do when they were working on ships is that when they were back in port, they would often work the rigging inside the theaters, and they used bosun whistles to make the phone calls back, or the phone calls, the calls backstage, so that they knew when drops were coming in, going out, when set pieces and props were coming in and going out. And if the wrong whistle was used backstage, something could fly in and kill somebody. You know, they would fly a piece of scenery in, and it could actually hit somebody and hurt them. And so, because everything was called by the bosun whistle backstage. So, now it's just become the superstition that we just don't whistle backstage, even though we don't use whistles anymore. We have nice little radio headsets. But,
whistle in your ears.
those whistle a lot.
That's the reason why. So.
See, I am familiar with several long-standing theater superstitions, but I guess I never knew why. It's just somebody says, don't whistle in the theater backstage. It's really bad luck. And you never say, well, why?
Yeah.
You just go, okay, I won't. And so I don't. But I'm very glad to be enlightened here.
Is that the reason you knew, Dee Dee?
Yes.
Yeah.
So. See there? Yeah. Those are the main two. The Scottish play and the whistles are the main two that I know of.
Well, there's another one that's like that I'm aware of are people are a little goosey about having a Bible on stage.
Yeah, and I've never
why. Yeah.
Well, because
I would think that would bring them good luck.
It's supposed. I don't know whether it's sacrilegious or what, but they will replace it with just like a big dictionary or something, because on stage you can't tell, obviously. So. That's why they do it.
I have no idea. I really wish you had that book. Maybe it's because actors used to be considered, you know, outlaws.
Outcasts, yeah.
And heretics. Heretics? The scum of the earth.
That's right.
Yeah.
Some of them still are.
I know.
Not all of them.
I'd be interested to hear what the basis of that one was.
Yeah. I don't know. Anybody that knows should let us know.
But we do. I mean, I have a couple of books, just regular books, that have had the covers painted black. And then like somebody has like painted a little cross on the top of them. So they look like Bibles, but they're just regular books.
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who are very superstitious about that. Now, when we did, we just did a show at the Opera House called Sanders Family Christmas that takes place in
a church,
and the man who played the minister insisted on having his own Bible on stage. So he had a Bible on stage, and
yeah, but it was his Bible, so he was safe.
Maybe that's
everybody
it.
Everybody else was in
maybe
trouble.
That's it.
Right? I don't know.
I don't know. The Christmas tree fell over every night. How, you explain that. Oh, hold on. That's part of the script. Okay. Kids that sometimes,
oh,
which I shouldn't.
Oh, John. They go home and tell their parents.
Probably.
Mr. Schaub told us to slip on shit.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like a napkin or?
Okay. Thank you.
I can make another cup of coffee.
No, we're okay. So, I'm okay. So.
Okay, we're recording. So, okay. So, where I don't even know where we were a minute ago.
We were talking about I don't remember. Breaking a leg.
You talked about whistling from the bosun's whistle.
Yeah.
Which is very logical. And the break a leg thing, I guess because in olden days, which means before my time, they used to bow. You didn't bow from the waist. You kind of bent your knee and bow. And that means if you break your leg like that, not literally, it means you got a lot of applause and everybody loved the performance and loved the production. And so you were a success.
So by wishing
so
somebody
they
to
wanted
break
you
a leg,
to break a leg,
okay,
which means bow the way they used to.
Very good.
We'll
see
I like
the things
that.
We learn.
Yes. Well, that's my.
Of course, you know, if you're a dancer, you were saying as a dancer, we always say at the Opera House, slip on shit if you're a dancer.
Okay.
Instead of break a leg, slip on shit. I don't know why. So.
I don't know why either.
I mean, it's just kind of the same thing as break a leg, I guess.
Not really.
Okay.
Not really.
Slipping on shit.
I've done it. I have done it.
You slip on. You slipped on. You know what? From the ghosts, though.
Well, yeah, but that's a whole nother story.
That's not a superstition. John says that's an actual fact.
That's
okay,
a fact.
Let's go to the ghost light, which every theater that I've ever seen leaves a light, at least one light on stage after all the other lights are turned out.
Yes.
And you'll tell us why, John.
Well, I mean, I to keep ghosts away? Is that the reason why?
I don't know.
It's there's a number of different reasons for it, and one of them is to keep ghosts away. The other one is that then the other one is the idea that not this sort of the opposite, which is that you are bringing ghosts in to allow them a chance to perform on the stage and give them a chance to fly around and have fun and enjoy their glory days. And so any old ghosts that, you know, used to perform there can come back.
Yeah, or it means that anybody that's coming into the Opera House when it's dark
is safe.
Won't break their neck.
Well, that's pretty
tripping on the stage.
Yeah, I know. I thought that's always kind of what it was about. I actually, you know, we leave lights on stage a lot. Like right now, because we have a wall that's separating the stage, I keep lights on the front of the stage and at the back of the stage. We have a light that stays on in the dressing room area. We have a light that stays on in the lobby space, and we always have a light that stays on in the stairwell so that there's
it's just safety. Hurt themselves, you know, and sue the Opera House.
So right. Those old timers knew all about insurance, I guess.
I guess so.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Is that the same as an actual real ghost light?
Are you
because
telling me
if you
that
looked
I have
up
to
a ghost light in the dictionary, it would be the pole with the single light bulb that's placed downstage center or center stage. That is, I think that's the only real ghost light. I don't think you can just flip on some fluorescence at the back of the stage and make it count.
Yeah, I don't think
I think that might be your problem.
It's just not official.
Well, the Opera House has ghosts. They know they don't bother me. So
let's hope it doesn't frighten any audience members away.
Oh,
heaven. To the Opera House.
Heavens, no.
An apparition.
Oh, no.
Aside from those wonderful ones that will be on the stage.
Actually,
course,
it might attract more attention.
It might at that.
Of course, we used to have cats in the Opera House, and every once in a while an audience member thought they were being touched by a ghost. In reality, it was just a cat running between their legs.
Wasn't there some play where the cat actually did walk across the stage?
Oh, more than once. I can't remember what show it was that the cat actually got up on stage and got underneath the platforms and was meowing, and we couldn't get the cat.
Yeah.
But that's not a superstition.
That's one night. We had one night when the black cat, who was named Black Cat, came out and just sat on the edge of the stage and just looked at the audience for several minutes anyway, and then decided, oh, well, I've had enough of this. Performance was going on. I mean, it was just, there was the cat.
But as for us, you know, it may not be us having a superstition. I mean, the cat running through the legs is just a cat running through your legs. But there is a superstition that
not if you do it right.
And we can't go there. But every theater should have a cat. That is a superstition that your theater must have a cat in it.
Yes. Well, if Andrew Lloyd Webber said you must.
Those are cats.
It's Gus the theater cat.
Wasn't that T.S. Eliot?
I was going to say, I think T.S. Eliot came up with that, yeah.
Yes. As interpreted by Andrew Lloyd, whatever.
Andrew Lloyd Webber, yes. Yeah. Well, when you write a song about it, then it's law.
Then it's law. Then it's real.
What else do we have on our list, John?
Well, you know, mirrors on stage are supposed to be bad luck.
Well, mirrors on stage are just hard to light.
Well, glass on stage in general, I would think, would be bad luck.
Because if it breaks.
Slam a door. I mean, the last time I put a real mirror on stage, I had to, like, put, I don't know, 4 screws in through the frame and make sure that it was so tight to the wall that it wouldn't come off. Anytime you use glass on stage, of course, you have that risk of hurting someone and walking through it. I mean, last year when we did Once on This Island and we broke, we broke one of our lanterns on stage in the wing. And, of course, there's glass in the wing, and we're all barefoot. And the stage crew was, you know, scrounging just to make sure that they could get it all cleaned up before we walked into the wing.
I think that's a pretty logical thing, you know, not having glass on stage. There's very logical reasons for that. But things like whistling and ghost lights and stuff, it goes back away. So I think there are a lot of traditions, or if you want to call them, or superstitions that have survived. And I think today, unless we have a book that says what they are, or we go to Wikipedia that says what they are, people do them and they follow them, but they don't really know why.
Right.
It's just, right. It's a superstitious thing to follow the superstitions.
Now, I sometimes break superstitions, though, just because I don't know I don't know why. So it's like, why do I worry about it? So I know one of the superstitions is not to put peacock feathers on stage. But I'll tell you, a big stand of peacock feathers in a vase can add height to a table and be quite lovely, and I don't care, so I put peacock feathers on stages all the time.
Well, but you won't do that anymore.
The reason for that one is because of what at least from one of our sources, is that it is related to the evil eye, because somebody's watching you and all that kind of stuff.
So are peacocks fated? I mean, are they to die early deaths? No. Or?
I don't know, but when I was doing that production of Macbeth backed up against the zoo, every night you would perform and you'd hear, and it would be
really,
the peacocks.
Oh, that's right.
Trying to get in.
We just have police cars going by. That's our problem.
Well, and peacock feathers, peacocks. They have blue in them, and blue is a bad luck color on stage, too.
There you go.
So maybe there's another reason.
Now people are not going to wear blue.
Oh, I put people in blue all the time.
I have not heard of half of these superstitions, and I've been...
There's a lot of stuff about clothing, you know, different colors of clothing.
Well, Dave, you're our resident expert. Why is blue not supposed to be a good color for costumes?
I don't think it really is, but it was because in the olden days...
Oh, those olden days!
That's right.
Yes.
In the olden days, the dyeing costumes blue was hard and expensive. So I think somebody said, well, we're not doing that because it's bad luck.
Yeah.
There was a better reason than we can't afford
some
it,
costumer.
Apparently, in those days.
Yeah. I can't afford the indigo dye. What are you thinking? We're not doing blue. What? It's bad luck anyway.
Yeah, bring it up again. I'll beat the crap out of you. There's your good luck. There's your bad luck. It'll be bad luck if you mention it again.
But I put people in blue now frequently. I mean, I like the color blue. It's a good telling color about a character.
Is it trickier to light or something?
I don't find it trickier to light. No. No, I mean,
I've worn blue some more times than I can remember.
I've probably worn a lot of navy blue because like I did a lot of when I did a lot of shows, a lot of times I'd have like a blue blazer on or a jacket, you know, sport jacket kind of thing. All the
green
time.
I think that's an old. That must have been just an old thing when the dye lot was really expensive.
Yeah,
I don't think that holds up today.
I think indigo was the most expensive dye that you could possibly have when they first were using dye colors. So
right. So okay. What else is on our list? Any others that we were going to mention here?
Well, I find interesting this for box office people, this whole seating old people first, I think is...
Isn't that what we do?
Is interesting. Right, yeah. You know? So for us, it's not ever a problem because they're usually standing at the door because they have arrived about 45 minutes That's before right. everybody else anyway. Well, so it's like, okay, they'll be seated. So
the superstition is that if your usher seats someone elderly first... Or if the first person seated is elder, then that's good luck for the play. And it will have a long run, as in an old age, or, you know, anyway, that's it. If you seat a young person, then it's likely to close soon.
Ours close soon anyway. So.
Ours close in 3 weekends.
Every three
yeah. tops. Yeah, that's it.
I've never heard of that.
I hadn't either.
Well.
And I also was surprised.
It's very true.
Yeah, right.
And I was really surprised by the whole looping of a backdrop thing, because I've never heard of this looping of a backdrop being bad luck. But Dave, you said you've heard of that.
Well, yeah, if a backdrop is coming down and it's looped, which I assume means that it's like
caught on something
yeah. rather than that's a bad portent. Also, stuff like tripping on. You know, stumbling coming in. There's a number of them about superstitions about entrances as well.
Mm-hmm.
But also, it's bad luck to peek out at the audience. But Dee Dee's done this
just once.
Why?
And why?
You have to tell.
Meryl Streep was in the audience, and I wanted to stare at her.
Okay. Well, that's fun. But and yes, stumbling is like, and if you catch yourself, if you catch clothing on the doorway. You're supposed to, I mean, the superstition demands that you leave the stage and come in by another entrance.
Well, that's a long play.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how you would, like, if there's...
You wouldn't. Let's agree that some of these are really
What if you're doing
stupid.
No exit?
No buy. No, yeah, you can't leave.
Right.
You know, how do you do that?
I slam my finger in a door every night when I was doing Lend Me a Tenor. What was I supposed to run to another door and come
Why
in
did you do it every night?
Well, it was bad luck. I don't know.
This is the way you built the door.
It had something. Luckily, I wasn't the scenic designer at the time. But no, the doorknob was too close to the door jamb. Yeah. And every night I was on a breakneck run going into the bathroom. And I'd run into the bathroom and slam the door behind me. And my finger would always be – they were standing there. By the second night of it, they were just standing there with Band-Aids.
Oh, my Lord,
waiting for
John.
Because I couldn't not.
That's terrible. Yeah. Well, see that, but that's how superstition gets born.
Maybe it is.
Yeah. It is. Something right. bad happens to one person.
I'd be
and
curious.
Then they automatically
you don't ever give someone the finger is probably the outcome of
David,
that.
David, okay.
Well, I don't know, but it's probably kind of true because I've worked in a lot of theaters, and old theaters really feel differently. Like the Cape Cod Playhouse was a big spot for movie stars to go, and there's a very rich history in that theater, and it's very old. And the Helen Hayes Theater is very old, and the Court Theater is very old, and there's the air in there is different than in a new theater. And what it has to be the ghosts.
Or the dust.
Whatever.
Yeah,
dust.
I'd like to encourage our listeners out there to let us know if they have their own superstitions at their own theaters, things that, you know, we haven't talked about. I think it'd be kind of fun to know what other theaters
That's true. Yeah.
uses their superstitions.
Send them in. Yeah. You in Pakistan.
Let us know your superstitions and why they're superstitions.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you can explain them, that would be really good.
Yeah, that would be
really good. You can just tell us what the superstitions are.
But of course, we still all talk about a bad dress rehearsal being meaning a good opening night.
Yes.
Right.
So,
well, I don't know. I'm always like, if my shows don't suck about 2 weeks out, I worry about it. I worry more about it if 2 weeks out is when they're supposed to suck. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
At least in community theater, I don't know. You know, Dee Dee, you can speak to the professional, but the thing is that most of my plays, if people start worrying, they get all tense and bothered about 2 weeks out. But but a good dress rehearsal, I don't know. I think a good dress rehearsal means a good performance.
A good performance,
I
think so.
I'm not a big believer in that one, because if you're having a bad dress rehearsal, if it sucks 2 weeks out, that's called okay. They're going to get scared here in about a couple of days, and then they're going to start to get it. You know, that's basically how it works with mine.
There's also the superstition about the second performance letdown. Which
that's not a superstition. That's a fact.
I refuse to say that. I don't. I just.
You don't have to say it, John. But that's what happens.
Well, I try to keep
the adrenaline for opening night is so pumped up. Everybody is really.
But see, I think it's my job as the director to make sure that the cast stays pumped up. So, you know,
absolutely.
I'm only but positive in the dressing room. I don't let people talk about that second day letdown.
They don't have to talk about it, John. They think about it.
But see, that's kind of a superstition. I mean, it doesn't have to be that. But it doesn't have to be that way.
Yeah. Well,
so this is
how many plays have you done, John? You've done a couple hundred plays, haven't you?
Well, not a couple hundred, but it's getting close.
Right.
Well,
me too. It's a fact.
I just don't think it has to be.
Well, no, of course not. You have to fight it. We're not saying you don't have to fight it, but
maybe it's become a superstition that we have allowed to become a fact.
No, I disagree entirely.
It is a fact. Second night is like. It is.
Okay.
Well, it may not be horrendous.
Maybe theater should only perform one night only. You know, maybe we should just do that.
I've done plenty of those, too.
Take a week off and then come back and do another night.
I've had the experience where the opening night is just kind of a drag, and it's maybe the actors have the adrenaline, but the audience kind of doesn't for some reason. And then the next night's better.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't you had that?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah. All right. Hey, that's all we have time for the superstitions.
More.
We could talk more about this, and maybe we will someday.
Oh.
But that's all we have time for. Please be sure to stop by theatergeeks.com and also check out the theatergeeks.com online store where you can buy all your theater geek gear. I'm Dave Dufour.
I'm the non-superstitious John Shout.
I'm Marcia Fulmer, and I'm sometimes superstitious, but we are definitely theater geeks.
Okay.
You sure are.
What?
Theater geeks.
Damn.
Thanks for joining us on this episode of Theater Geeks. If you have a suggestion for a topic that you'd like to hear us discuss, or just a question, or just a comment, use our feedback form at theatergeeks.com. Music for Theater Geeks was provided by musicalley.com.